Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I have a really great guest on. We're going to be talking about starseeds, walk-in, lightworkers, indigos, anything and everything that people really need to know about. My guest name is Lavendar. She has her own radio show, but we're going to bring her in. So, Lavendar, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy, and thank you for our Wake Up Now conference in Albuquerque. And it was just wonderful meeting you and experiencing everything that we experienced there. So bravo to you.
I thank you. And I'm just going to make this real quick because I don't, when I'm doing a show and I'm, you know, interviewing somebody, I don't talk a lot about what I do. But for this particular purpose, we do have the DVDs for sale. They have every single guest speaker, and there were 16 of them. So you can get it in a set, or you can get individuals. But if you go to wakeupnowconference.com, you can order them right online. And we're in the process of making up all the copies now. So they are available, and the more we can get sold, the better it is to help out the school. But, Lavendar, let's go and talk about you. Let's have the listeners know a little bit more about Lavendar. You know, why you're here, what brought you here, what prompted you to be on your journey, and how did you know it was a journey?
First of all, after all these, for 30 years, I've been putting information in the bank vault. And it's just been recently that I've decided to start releasing some of that information. And when I think about discovery of star markings, I think this is probably one of my biggest discoveries. And I'll just give you a brief outline of how it happened. I was living in Cripple Creek, Colorado, and it was 1980. I got very, very burned out in the psychic counseling world that I was in, and I just had to take a break. And a man came along and said, look, I've got all this money, and, you know, I'll furnish you with as much money as you want. Go rest and just teach me what you know. I said, okay. So I had been an astrologer, and at that time, I'd have an ephemeris, which is a book. You look at, open it up, and it says where the planets were. And so I would just asking people their birthdays. And right after February 16th of 1980, when the sun was, the eclipse was 26 Aquarius, no matter where I was or who I was meeting for the first time, I was finding people with 25, 26, 27 degree planets. And it made no difference whether they were young or old. I mean, everyone, 25, 26, or 27 degree planets. And I call these markings the starseed codes. And at first I thought, well, how cute is this? And then it became apparent that something was entering my life, you know, from the twilight zone as I was finally figuring out that the odds of this happening were right off the astronomical chart of probabilities. Because in an astrological wheel, there's 360 degrees, and there are 12 astrological signs with 30 degrees in each sign. So to my amazement, there were only 36 chances out of 360 that I could find someone one of these three particular star codes. And so why was I drawn to all of them? No matter, I mean, chefs, taxi cab drivers, stewardesses, this went on and on and on. And one time, I was at a restaurant, and on impulse, I stood up and I said, you know, I'm working on a project, and I need to have everybody's birthday. So I passed the tablet around for everybody to write their information, and there were about 75 people in the restaurant, and I surely was going to find one that did not have this marking wrong. Every person in that restaurant had these markings. And so this is when I knew how planned out this was by beings a lot more attuned than me. And later that night, of course, I drank a lot of wine because now it was beyond in tracking, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is how it started. And the thing that really kind of clenched it for me was a guy that had written a book called Genius in Astrology. And I was down in Fort Lauderdale, and I was standing there, and a fax was coming through. In those days, faxes were a really big deal. And it was an 83-page fax about the Nobel Prize winners. And I was working at that time with Dennis Weaver on an environmental project about the Nobel Peace Prize winners. Phone rings, and the person says, you know, Roy Tate, who's written Genius in Astrology, is going to be talking tonight. You want to go hear him? And I said, sure. She said, well, he's going to be talking about the Nobel Peace Prize winners. Now, as the fax is coming across, and I'm listening, I said, oh, boy, here it is, you know, serendipity. So mm-hmm. I went and I heard what he had to say. I walked up to him after and I said, I know this is bold of me, but can I go home with you? Can I see your computer and your charts? We sat up all night. And here's what I found. I found that 95% of the Nobel Peace Prize winners were born with the markings. They received their awards during the markings, and they died with the markings. After that, I went to, back to Georgia and laid down and looked at the forest for a long time. I said, this is so beyond me. What am I going to do with this? Well, later, I started working with it, and I really started understanding that there was gigantic experiments on the planet for several species. And I started tracking the Pleiadians first. They were the first ones that I came in contact with, so I went to them for help, and I said, look, you know, this is what I have. And they said, yeah, we can take a drop of your blood and put it up on the screen and show your astrological chart. Well, I said, whoa, that's pretty out there. So that's basically kind of how it started. And from there, it just led me from one adventure to another. And like I said, I took all these things that's happened to me through these 30 years. I put it in the vault, and I'm starting to release those stories now. And I have a radio show on blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. The big story, though, is called Crack Between the Worlds, and it was done on September 18th of last year. It's the big story that I held and gripped in my hand for a long time before I decided to ever release it. And it's the one that kind of describes in more detail how all these experiments that I've been going through, how they started, because it was, this story starts in 1977. So, and I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm just there.
You're only as young as you feel there, Lavendar. You know that. Age makes no difference in the world we're in. Let's talk a little bit about the characteristics of the different star seeds, Lavendar, because a lot of people, first of all, don't probably understand the idea of star seed markings. But let's talk about some of the characteristics.
All right. Well, the characteristics are a person that is born to a family that doesn't belong. They say, oh, how did I ever pick this family? I have nothing in common with them. That's really comes up quite often. They have abilities that they're very psychic, they're very intuitive, they have great electromagnetic presence. You know, like when they're children, they pick up birds and fix their wings and animals, and they go out and talk to trees, and they see things that other people don't see. And because no one really knows or understands or helps them along, you know, they're shunned, or church gets a hold of them, or teachers or parents with problems don't seem to grasp their children. And so I'm finding that I get a lot of emails daily of people saying, I understand now more about, you know, what I went through as a child and as a grown up. And so their characteristics, they're not so much in physical traits as they are in electromagnetic traits. That's what I would say. I kind of gauge them by their abilities to co-create and be able to have the consciousness to track further than others.
Mm-hmm. Are star seeds, light workers, walk-ins, indigos, are they all basically the same, or is there a difference between them?
Of course, they're all star seed, but they all have different, they all have different specialties. You know, like I'm finding that the walk-ins are the ones that literally come and there's different kinds of walk-ins. First of all, there's the temporary walk-ins and the permanent ones. And this is not like possession. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about beings that come and simply attach to someone and help them through a crisis or help them to snap to their mission on the planet. There are light worker. When I define a light worker, this is a part of a starseed group that they just love to be worker bees, but they don't want to step out there on the stage and be a leader. They just want to be a worker. They don't want to take the responsibility that others take. That's kind of way I look at light workers. That's just my term and my mm-hmm. definition. There are different categories of leadership. There's those that step out on the stage where whatever they do and say has global consequences. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with a lot of those people that their influence and power kind of navigates the consciousness on the planet.
Do you think... go ahead.
Does that make sense of where I'm going with this?
Yeah, it does to me.
Yeah.
It may not necessarily to some people. But do you think, Lavendar, that everybody who is walking on the face of this earth has some kind of a connection with some outer being from another planet?
You know, as many different experiments as I've been tracking on this planet, I would say everybody's touched by it somewhere. There's some that have a little stronger lineage than others. Why? Because they've been tracking their bloodlines for so long. There's some bloodlines, though, I'm seeing that there's some that are becoming kind of extinct, and they're, you know, they just probably won't be here anymore after 2012. Everybody says, well, everybody's from the stars. Well, no, I don't think so. There was a group that was actually started here on this planet, and there's a lot of them still here. And there's others that come from other star systems.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a combination. But I think that we're really going towards the end of some very fine of experiments that we've had on the planet for a very long time, and some of them are ending in 2012, and then new ones are starting. So I don't look at 2012 as a apocalyptic time at all. I look at it as I'm very excited about it. I really feel like that the big event is coming, and the big event is when the consciousness sees and understands that ETs have been here for a long time, and they're going to continue to be here. And whether the White House announces them or not doesn't make any difference. They'll announce themselves. We have way too much evidence that they've been here. I mean,
we have so much evidence, and why the government and why people still want to question that is really beyond me. But some people still really have to wake up a lot. And
that's because, you know, they've been droned to sleep. So.
Yeah. A lot of times, like children, especially, Lavendar, because that's what I do. I'm right now working with children. I want children to be who they are. I want children to know who they are. I want them to know their abilities. You know, I want them to be all they can be without that thing that you have, something wrong with you, you know, like your ADD or ADHD or you're some kind of a problem. We really need to break that scenario for children because they're not a problem, are they?
No. Oh, no. And, you know, I'm all of those things. I've been hit 3 times by lightning. So it's like, you know, the other day I went to pop my fuel tank, and I popped the trunk, and I was ready to put gas in the trunk. That shows you what kind of ADD thing I get into. But it's like that's because I'm functioning on so many different levels at once. And that, I think that's what some of the ADD is because, you know, it's like watching 12, if you have 12 television screens that you're watching at the same time and you're trying to pump gas, it might be a little difficult. And I think that happens to a lot of people on the planet is because they're just wired for different communication skills. And there may be some transmissions or things coming into them, and it just makes their brain start switching. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very normal thing with a lot of starseeds. Especially
when it comes
these new kids, I'm really seeing that their abilities are just, you know, they're really taken. I'm sure that you have, too. That's your main focus. I don't have as many contact with kids like you do. The ones I have come in contact just blow my mind.
Well, the thing is that, you know, what I've learned, and I've paid close attention, is that these children are very, very intelligent, very, very intuitive, and yet our government or parents who don't know or understand keep trying to shut them down. And to me, that's the biggest mistake ever because, in my thought, it's these children that are actually going to put this world back together that we've so nicely tried to destroy. And we need to give them all the help we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about tricksters, Lavender. What do you consider tricksters?
Did you happen to hear my show a couple of weeks ago?
I did not get the chance to hear it, but I do know that you were going to be talking about it because somebody sent me an email saying, "Oh, Lavender is going to talk about tricksters." So let's talk about it.
Oh, I didn't pull that information. I didn't have that in front of me to talk about. But yeah, there's so many different. Oh, wow. Yeah, tricksters come in all kinds of forms. The tribal trickster, and then the holy trickster, and the divine. There's all. I don't have that. I spent like 19 years working on this essay, and if I'd known you were going to ask me that, I would have had it in front of me. But what I'm finding in the New Age movement is we've been so tricked into believing certain things that we're not tracking the energy, we're tracking a belief system, and that'll just take you right over the cliff. And trickster is allowed on the planet because it is the play of opposites. So I went into great detail a couple of weeks ago on my radio show about all the different kinds of trickster that there are. And because now we have technologies the way they're playing on the planet, part two of my radio show, which I'll give probably, I don't know when I'm going to do it, probably later in the fall, I've got part two that I'll talk about the technology tricksters, which includes HARP, implants, all the different ET technologies that are playing on the planet, and they're a big trickster.
Very, very big. Very big. When you were at the conference, you left me a book and you left me a CD. Let's talk a little bit about that information that you left for me.
Okay. On the CD, I have Crack Between the Worlds, which is a story about 1977. I was summoned down to Giant Rock by George Van Tassel. And I had just had a very, very heartbreaking experience. I had been with this fellow, and we had had a great time in Las Vegas. He was a helicopter pilot, and we flew down the middle of the strip, and how we didn't crash or get arrested by the police, I'll never understand that one. But anyway, I lost my wristwatch during that night. And, of course, when we broke up, I was just very devastated, and I get this phone call. I'm very sad, I'm very blue, I'm very depressed, and George says, "We need you to come down to Giant Rock. There's something really important about to happen." And I had this friend named Sally Kaplan, and she had her own airplane. I said, "Sally, would you fly me down there?" So the landing strip was right there at Landers at Giant Rock, and so we landed in the airplane. And Giant Rock is this huge boulder, and underneath it is this gigantic room. And so Doris and George said, "Go down the rock, and we'll come back and get you later." And I said, "You're just going to leave me here by myself?" And they said, "Yeah." And I walked down, and nobody was there. And I thought, "Well, why are they having me doing this?" And I went to turn around to climb the stairs, and I heard my name, and I turned around, and here was this being standing there. And he told me to put out my hand, and I did. And he put my wristwatch in my hand and closed it and told me that he was going to download some information that was going to take me 25 years to live and discover. And he said, "And whenever you get ready to tell anybody about this, they'll just be erased or you'll be erased. This information is set to come out at a certain time." And so he told me all this information. And when I woke up, I looked at my watch, and it was running backwards, and I had lost some time. Now, this was in 77.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the beginning story of what was on that CD that I gave you, okay, and all the ramifications of that. And that's how this whole thing started. So when the rock cracked years later, George had told me, he took me for a little walk later in the desert, and he said, "When that rock cracks, you're going to have to release this information." I said, "What information? What are you talking about?" "It's 1977. He said, "Oh, you're going to tell them about walk-ins and in time travel, and, you know, he starts talking very strange. And sure enough, when the rock cracked, it was not long after that that I started putting together all the information that needed to come out of the vault. And that's just basically kind of the story. Now, I had written a little booklet about quartz crystals while I was up at Cripple Creek, and distributed it for many years. I worked with crystals. I never lectured on the book because I never even remembered writing it. So
that happens.
Those are the things that are on that CD I gave you.
Do you know, out here where I live in New Mexico, Lavendar, there is a peak. Next time you're in this area, I'll take you to it. It's called the Ladrone Peak, and the whole base of this mountain is made out of white quartz crystals.
Wow.
It has got some of the most fabulous energy ever in it, and has a lot of stories about, you know, UFOs, angels, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's got just so much energy to it. And I've been up there now a few times, not all the way to the top because it's like 9,200 feet, but I've been up like 7,200. And the energy it's so different. I mean, because you look down and you see all these white quartz crystals, and then all the rocks that are on there are also very sparkly, and it's like, holy cow. You know, and you feel like you're in a whole different, you know, wavelength there, and it feels so good. So next time you're coming to New Mexico, if you let me know, we'll go over there because I think you might enjoy that.
Is it close to Las Lunas where you live?
Actually, it is. It's actually between Las Lunas and Socorro, which takes about not quite an hour to get there from my house.
Oh, I know. I used to drive to Socorro a lot.
You know, so it's over there. And the thing is, and it stands up really high. And when I first moved to this area, I met some people who do, like, dowsing and everything. And the guy that did the dowsing, he was one of the speakers, Gary Plapp. And he talked about energy at the conference. Well, he took me up by the mesa where he had doused for energy. And correlated the energy to the seven chakras, which is energy in itself. But while we're up there, we'd been up there for 3 hours, and something kept saying to me, turn around, and I didn't know what they were talking about. So I finally turned around, and this energy from the Ladrone Peak almost knocked me off my feet. And Gary said to me, are you okay? And I said, yeah, but what's that? And I pointed to the mountain. He goes, oh, that's the Ladrone Peak. And I go, well, yes, but what is it? He goes, has a lot of history, Nancy. I said, what kind of history? You know, I'm nosy. And he said, it's a lot of history about crystals and ET energy and all kinds of stuff. And I said, really? And I said to him, I said, I need to go there, Gary. And he looked at me with this pan look on his face, and he goes, today? And I said, no, but we have to go. So the energy there, when you're even at my house, because the whole south side of my house is window, so you can see the Ladrone Peak. So it's like every place I go, I get to see this peak. So I'll take you there if you come here, because you'll find it pretty interesting, I think. A lot of connections there.
Gary Platt, is he the one that used to live in Hot Springs, Arkansas?
No, actually, he was from California.
Okay.
And he talked about the different energies that's going to be coming on in the world and stuff like that. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about 2012, Lavendar. A lot of people are under a lot of different ideas that the Earth is going to implode, or it's going to disappear, or it's going to blow apart.
What's your
take on that?
Yeah, but you know what? There are going to be some changes. There's mm-hmm. going to be some Earth changes, you know, in different places. And we just have to kind of know that. You know, there's going to be earthquakes and volcanoes and some disasters. And because of the way that we have treated Mother Earth, there's going to be, you know, a climate change has happened. I mean, there's just going to be changes. But I think most of the starseed on the planet have an internal clock, and they're just going to know how to migrate to the safe places where they need, you know, where they need to be. I mean, we're going to lose a lot of people off the planet. That's just, but that's what happens in evolutionary moves. So I don't look at it as a disastrous time. I just look at it as a big change, changing times.
Yeah, I do too, and I keep saying, bring it on.
Absolutely.
You know, just bring it on, you know, because
yeah.
I was shown bunches and bunches of images and visions when I was, like, very, very young, after I had a freak accident. And they always kept telling me 2010, and I know everybody's worried about 2012, but it's really already started. It started at the end of 2009.
I think you're right. And you know what? I'm really looking for some things to happen in October of this year.
Yeah, because they, you know, they just they just kept telling me, it's 2010, NC 2010, you'll be okay. But, you know, changes all the way through 2017 was the dates that they gave me. So I think you're right on.
I think those are the things I've been given to. And you know, things are always subject to change. Why? Because we're messing with technologies that the consciousness on this planet hasn't caught up with the technologies that are here. And that does change some timetables.
Changes a lot of timetables. Now, Lavendar, give out when people can come to Black Talk Radio and listen to your program.
Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Starseed Radio Academy, and we have a guest every Tuesday. Or I reach into the vault and I find something that I want to share that's been, you know, secreted away for a long time. Sometimes, you know, I do it every two or three times. I never know when I'm going to do that. But we have a real select audience because people that are awake seem to want to come on our show and want to know more about, their questions, the reason I say they're awake, they have awake questions. They don't have sleepy questions. You know, the difference between someone that's just waking up and asking a question, people that have been awake for a while. And there's a community that's starting, and these people are talking with one another. And here's what I'm finding out, Nancy, is, pardon me, this discovery of star markings has now brought me into Discovery Star Markings Part 2. I'm finding people that are in groups, soul groups, that actually knew each other in other lifetimes that said that they would come back and do this work. Like there's a group from France, you know, with the Mary Magdalene Jesus group, mm-hmm. and then there's the Atlantis group, and then there's the Athena 96 Goddess group from Greece. It's like I'm getting kind of overwhelmed with some of this information about how some of these people are, and I'm finding their markings are similar, and yet they're still born in different years. It's I don't know how to say it any other way except it's a mathematical equation that's got me really scratching my head. How did that happen?
I think Lavendar, we're going to find out a lot of information, and we're going to be scratching our heads for a little while going, how did that happen? You know, because there is so much coming in, and like you said a little bit earlier, we really do need to catch up with the technology because technology is actually not helping us at this point if we can't be ahead of it. You know, so that's real important. Now, let's talk a little bit about astrology.
Okay.
Lavendar, there's a lot of different methods to astrology. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Yes. The one I use the Koch system, Placidus. I use Western astrology. I know very little about Vedic astrology. I studied at the Academy of Atlantis in 1975 in California. And I learned the basics. When computers came along, I was so relieved because I had three tutors trying to teach me the math to do my own charts, and I couldn't get it. So when computers came along and did it for me, boy, that was a godsend for me. But what it's done for me, it's shown me a blueprint, a tracking device to track energies. Mm-hmm. And in a chart, I look for natural state and rites of passage. So I can look at a person's chart and say, here's your natural state. This is what's easy for you. Here's what's difficult for you. Here's what, you know, maybe you have mastered in other lifetimes. And if you've mastered it before, that means you probably can do it again. You just need to be conscious of it. Rites of passage, I look to see, you know, especially if they have the star markings, that kind of indicates part of their mission on the planet as far as their star markings go and how they're more leaning toward the uniting of humanity with other star planets. That's a different, you know, it takes them out of the mundane. It's not about relationships and having children and going to work and paying taxes. I track it on a whole different level.
Which really needs to be tracked on a different level because most people will pick up their daily horoscope thing and they'll read according to their sun sign, and sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. Which I don't believe in the daily horoscope because unless you know your whole chart, you're missing out on some really important information that you need.
Yeah.
But people do it, and then they get all uptight because, you know, it says you're going to have a really bad day. So they start off having a really bad day because they think they're going to have a really bad day, when in reality, if they knew what the rest of their chart was, it may not be like that. Is that true?
Yeah, and you are what you're conscious of. You know, it's like if you're conscious of something, you know, if you name it, you claim it, I believe.
Yeah, I do too. If you have twins born, are they going to have the same, you know, markings, the starseed markings, because they're twins?
You know, I have done quite a few twins and triplets, and what I find is they'll come in with a very similar chart, but the souls are so totally different. I mean, it's like, you know, day and night type stuff. It's like, whoa. And they may function similarly for a while, and then they break out, and then they become their own, you know, their own person. The soul dictates, you know, what the experiences are going to be, regardless of the chart. Yeah.
If somebody wants to have a starseed reading with you, how do they go about doing that, Lavender?
Well, they go on our website. It's called starseedhotline.com. And you go and first you will probably want to do a star chart marking. Although I'm not doing those now, Ariel's doing all the star chart markings, and I do private sessions. But I'm booked clear through. I only have 3 appointments left in the whole month of July, and then I'm taking off in August and doing some other things. I'm going to be able to work on the book and doing the manual and teaching other astrologers how to find. I have several astrologers that want to learn, you know, how to find these star markings. So I'll be taking off and not doing sessions probably after August.
Okay, so if they want something, they better hurry up, right?
I'm sorry, say that again?
If they want to have an appointment with you, they better hurry up, right?
Yeah, I've only got 3 appointments left in the whole month of July.
Okay, so maybe somebody will get in touch with you real quick. My other question is, Lavender, does it help to do a whole family so that everybody kind of knows how they fit in and why they fit in or why they don't? Does that help?
It depends on how awake they are. You know, if you have a family that's really awake and really open to this information, it can really help them understand. But if you have even one of the family members folding their arms and going, and then, I really like everybody to be on the same page of their same understanding when I start working with them. Because I'm not into show me. You know, I'm into the experience of how does it feel and how do the energies work together. I find like 2 or 3 different people that can come on and do that, and that's a real enlightening experience, because once they start talking and I start talking and they all say, oh yeah, and how does that feel, and yeah, when we were in the cemetery and we saw our ancestors and they were all born with these star dates, and wow, that was really something, and my great grandfather was this, and you know, it gets really in there.
It's good. How long does it take to have a starseed chart reading done?
Well, the many readings are done by an MP3 file. What you do is you go on and order it, and Ariel will do a natal chart, a progress chart, and send you an MP3 for a reading. And she'll say, here are your star markings, and here's what they mean. And it'll be anywhere from 7 to 10 minutes in an MP3 file. And then a session with me can either be 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or an hour. But I only have 3 hours left in July. I don't have any shorter ones. So, and what I do is I do send you your natal and your progress chart and the transit chart for the day. And at the end of the session, I do send you an MP3 recording of what's being said. And I get lots of testimonials from people, you know, saying things like, you know, what you told me, it took a while for it to sink in, but 3 months later, boy, I was right on it. It did happen. And what I'm finding, Nancy, is all these people showing up that were activated back in August 20th of 1987 during the August Harmonic Convergence. it's like there's a wave of them that's come in this past year, and they seem to be finding me. And it's like, wow, isn't that something? Remember
that's
when
great.
Jose Arguelles, you know, had us all, you know, riven up for the 16th and 17th of August of 87?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found out that the real activation day was the 20th. Later. And that's what seems to be showing up in everybody's chart that does show up.
Now, are there constant planetary activations going on?
Say that again.
Are there constant planetary activations going on?
I notice that, yes. I notice that there's a harmonic that's let loose just ever so often, and I've been tracking them with these 25, 26, 27 dates, and when those planets get in those degrees, it's like a song or a celestial music. I'm noticing new moons and full moons are activation times, the equinoxes and solstices. I also know that, inside the mountain, July 1 through 7 is when a lot of beings go inside the mountain and call beings out of body.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 144,000 beings that show up every 45 minutes for 7 days and 7 nights inside the Tetons in Wyoming. So that's a huge activation. It also happens from January 1 through 7. And on my website, we have teleconferences, and you can look back in the archives, and you'll find all the stories about the Tetons and the information that I was able to write about years ago. So, yes, there are, I would say, just ever so often, if you know when they are, sometimes it helps you to align yourself. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're in your natural state, it doesn't matter. You're going to mm-hmm. do it anyway.
Yeah. Do you think this goddess energy that's kind of here and coming in a lot stronger is real important for all of us to pay attention to it?
Yeah, I think the feminine, there is a reconciliation of the sexes it's starting to happen where, you know, the men and women and the energies become more about. I think after year 2012, we're going to see that relationships will change quite a bit after that. I think that the feminine responsibility at many levels is much stronger than with the men. You know, the men are just, a lot of them are just angry on the mm-hmm. planet. And it has to do with the imbalance of sexual energies with their partners. And I think a lot of that's going to balance out. And, yeah, the goddess frequency, we had some guests on in the past couple of months talking about the different goddesses and people that have written books about them. And I think there's just more and more a focus on the feminine and how the feminine, you know, has more nurturing power just by natural state, I would think. You know, they're really the co-creators of life and the sacred womb space and all of that. So, yeah.
I think it's also real important, Lavendar, because, like you're saying, the feminine energy is nurturing, and the masculine energy is basically what creates the power struggle, the you know, control and the ego. So it is time for that to be rebalanced, and it does need to be rebalanced very quickly here because with all these changes coming, if it isn't balanced, it's going to take a little bit longer for a lot of people to understand what's going on with themselves, let alone what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's real important. Now, on your Starseed website, you also have Starseed poetry. What's that about?
Poetry?
The poetry?
I haven't even seen it. I didn't even know what's on there.
Who
wrote it?
There's people who send in different things for the poetry, and then you can talk about it a little bit. And it's just the lyrics and stuff and the different...
Know that. Okay, I'm sorry. I haven't looked at it for some time, and, you know, I'm sorry to say I didn't know it was on there, but I'm glad. People are sending in poetry for our website. Great.
No, it is. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really good information on the website. So, Lavendar, give out the website again. Also, how they can listen to you on Blog Talk.
Okay. Every Tuesday, it's 7 p.m. Eastern Time for a two-hour show. The first hour is about a subject matter, and the second hour is questions, and we have a chat room, and then you can phone in. And Arielle is one of my co-hosts, and then Sierra is another co-host. And we just have just really a great time every Tuesday. And my website, it's blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. And then our website is starseedhotline.com.
Okay, now, you said that you only have 3 appointments left through the end of July, and then you're going to take a break. Are you going to come back after that and start doing more, or are you going to take more or less a permanent break?
Permanent break. I really, I don't know. That's kind of open, but there'll be certain people that will reach out to me, and I'll still do work with them. I feel like that our starseed work is taking on a whole different flavor, and we'll be putting together starseed cruises, and we'll be taking people on trips, and we'll even have a software written that you can type in your birth information, and it'll tell you whether you have the star markings or not. And then it'll hook you up with other people that have the same star markings as you.
That's kind of interesting because people need to know there's other people like them.
Yeah. That's another project of ours. So, that's going to be keeping us pretty busy.
I think that's real important what you're doing, Lavendar, because people need to know. And I know that they're having this really hard time, but they need to know. The different things going on. We have a big windstorm going on here, so if you hear a lot of wind, it's because we have these 60-mile-an-hour winds coming through here.
See, to everybody that's listening is, the next 2 years, this is it. This is real. I mean, people say, well, I don't know why I'm here. Well, I can tell you, the next 2 years is why you're here, because we're going to have the biggest event happen on the planet, and you're going to have to decide, where are you going to be in your alignment with your neighbors and with your family, with these extraterrestrial beings that are going to be showing up on the planet consciously for everyone to see and to function with? That's got to be the biggest event ever. And it's like, that's one of the reasons you're here.
And it is. It's a very, very important event, because people do need to wake up. And the ones that are awakening and still, trying to awaken is really going to be the key, and the ones that are awake are the ones that are going to be helping them get it through. So I think it's very important these next few years, and not most people, Lavendar, are looking at it, oh my god, and it's not like that.
No, this is not time
For people to really reconnect not only with themselves but with families, from all over the place as far as energy goes, people that they had probably seen in dreams or visions, but had no idea that they really existed. And this is going to be the time for all of that. And I think it's so neat and so interesting. And that's why I keep saying just bring it on, because it should be really, really good. A little strange, but good.
Well, I think the hardest thing that people will have to deal with is when they realize how many lies they've been fed all their life. Mm-hmm. I think the rip and tear is going to reveal so many lies that they're going to go, I can't believe I've based all my information on lies. I think that's going to be the big one.
That's going to be a very big one. And what's really funny, Lavendar, is I really believe, and I may have a little bit more faith than human consciousness in some, but I really believe that people know that we have kind of been duped for a long time. But they are afraid to take responsibility, because if they take responsibility, it means they got to do something. And I think people are a little lazy in that respect. But I don't really believe they're going to have a choice, because they are going to have to take some responsibility to do their part, because all of us have to do our part with what's coming.
Well, the hard thing, though, is they don't want to say they were wrong all those years. They don't want to say, you mean I made all those decisions based on misinformation? Oh, how could I have been that wrong? That's what they're going to go through first, and then after they snap out of that, they go, okay, now what? Well, it's a whole new paradigm.
Well, it is. See, and that's part of, the reason why I'm also doing this School of Now for the Children is so that they can really be all they are, and it's actually going to be a school of truth, which is going to aggravate a lot of people and probably upset a lot of people, but it is time for truth, and it's needed now, you know, rather than, you know, another 25 years down the road. And it is. It's going to upset some people, and they're going to have a hard time trying to figure out, just like you said, admitting, you mean I was this dumb or this stupid that I allowed this? But, you know,
I have a five-second rule. I go, okay, you got 5 seconds to get over it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because 6, 7, 8, you're too late.
That's right. You know, and that's the part, and it's really, it's going to be different for many, many people because they can't live in lies anymore, and truth is the best way anyway, but it's going to be hard because people, you know, have not been told the truth for so long, and it's going to be shocking. Like I said, even though their soul knows that they've been duped, it's still going to be shocking as far as in our conscious mind, I think, and it's going to take a little bit of time for people to adjust, but they don't have it, just like you're saying. They had their 5 seconds, and, you know, they're just going to have to make a choice, which I think is very important because people need to make choices at this point.
Oh, yeah, and wise ones. They need to make some wise choices.
Very wise ones. If somebody has a child, Lavender, who has got lots of ability, what can you tell the parents that are listening on how to help those children?
Listen. Listen to them. No matter what comes out of their mouth, no matter how far out you think what they're saying or talking about, just listen and ask them questions as though they're the teacher and you're the student.
Well, they are.
And you'll be surprised at what they'll...
They are the teacher.
I mean, but instead of, I'm mommy, you child, you listen to me, turn it around.
Yeah, I keep telling parents that all the time, you know, maybe instead of telling your child what to do, maybe why don't you listen to see what they're
Absolutely.
Here to do. You know, and they look at me like I'm crazy, but it's like, that's okay, you'll get it, just keep working with it. You know, I find people fascinating, actually.
Yeah.
So, after you get done with your July schedule, and you're going to take your little, you know, your little hiatus, let's say, from this, you're still going to do some teachings, because you still need people who know how to do the astrology for the star markings.
I'm going to probably be teaching some astrologers how to do this, and they'll work through the website no matter, you know. We're getting so many requests for this that I can't do it all, so I have to turn it over to other people. And I have other things. You know, I've got this book and movie to do of Crack Between the Worlds, and then we've got Sierra, her story, her abduction story, where, the, you know, she had the baby, and they came and took it, and then they took her under NORAD. It's a huge story, and she and Richard Dolan are working on that now, and that's going to be a book and movie, and we're just going to be involved in these projects. And so we just have to get them done. We've got a timetable with them.
Well, we do. You know, because a lot of what is in Sierra's story and also in your story is happening right now. You know, people will go, well, that can't possibly be true. But it's been happening for a long, long time. And it's time that truth even there comes out.
And I have years ago, I wrote down and put a lot of stories back in the vault about the women that I met that were having these galactic babies. So I have a lot of those stories, you know, about the women that have had, that were abducted by different ETs at different times. They were impregnated, and these babies were grown part-time in their wombs, and then they would come and take them. So I have a lot of documentation about this.
See, and that in itself should be another interview, Lavender, because...
Yeah.
There are many women out there who have gone through this, and they know it inside, but consciously, again, they have a hard time allowing it in their mind to fit. And it really messes with them a lot, and it really, you know, screws them up a lot as far as emotions and children and the whole bit. So I think that would be a really, really good topic, especially between now and the next 2 years, to get into.
Yeah, okay. I'll be happy to come back and talk about that whenever you want.
Yeah, because I just think it's going to be very much needed, because a lot of the children, you know, the star children, the crystal children, the indigos, They're all coming, and they're not going to stop coming, not at this point.
Oh, and we want them to. We want them to come.
Yes, we do.
When they told me to write this stuff down and put it in the vault, they told me that it would be like 25 to 30 years before I could release it because the information was really for the kids that were coming.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't for the group that was there at that time. So I had to have a lot of patience sitting on this material.
Yeah,
and,
I bet
you know, with three planets and Sag, I don't have much patience.
I was going to say, you probably don't. But that's okay. That's good because, when you don't have the patience and it's all going to finally come out, it'll be very, very interesting for people and a very big awakening, which, again, is what we're in right now. We're in all of these awakening stages, and they're going to keep coming and keep coming, so there's no use in fighting them. It's just to go with them and talk with people who have some knowledge about them to help you through them.
Right, right. So, yeah, but go back in the archives of Blog Talk Radio and just scan all the different things that I've taken, you know, out and read out of the vault. Seedling 1 and 2 talks about my younger years. There's one called Natalie Wood. That's a very interesting one. Because I was on Catalina when she actually drowned. That's a very interesting story. All the different ones that are on our archives, are information that is slowly coming out of the vault.
Which is really good. And you'll probably end up speeding it coming out of the vault after this year is over. I do have another question for Lavender. We're almost out of time, but we have a little bit more. So when it comes to the Pleiadians, a lot of people have different ideas about them. A lot of people believe they're either Pleiadian or Arcturian. So in your opinion, for the Pleiadians, do we need to fear them? Are they good? Do they help us? You know, because people have their different ideas that they may not be all that great and that we're being duped again by them. What do you think?
I think there are different factions. I have played and seen all kinds of Pleiadians in their experiments on the planet. And I look at it as it's their turn in the barrel. It's their turn to end this particular gigantic experiment. There is more of them than there is any other species.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have positive, you're going to have negative, you're going to have all kinds of them show up in different places around the globe because that's what's been allowed to play on the planet.
And so how would people decipher which ones to trust and which ones not to trust?
I have a really simple formula. It's really simple. In fact, it's so simple, people go, how can you do that? Well, I can. When people bring you flowers, you know it. When they bring you thorns, you know it. It's about energy. It's not about what they say. It's about what they do.
Mm-hmm. People really need to wake up a lot, Lavender.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I just don't listen to words anymore. I watch the energy of what happens.
Mm-hmm. And that's very important. So we have probably about 35 seconds left. So in that 35 seconds, give out your website again and how they can listen to your radio show.
Okay. It's www.starseedhotline.com and blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. And remember, energy does not lie. Only people do.
That's very good. Very good, Lavender. I'd like to thank you for being on the show and thank you for taking the time. And we'll have you on again. And we will talk about the women, okay?
Okay. Thank you for all you do, Nancy. Okay. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. Take care. Bye now. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. And have a great week. And check it out. See what we got going. Take care now. Bye.